Good afternoon, everybody. It's Friday at 2 p.m. Welcome to Chatting Between Takes. I'm your host, Sean Benson, and I am here with...
Zoe de Grand Maison.
So Zoe, I'm so excited to have her on the show, partly because she's delightful and becoming a real good friend, but also she's one of the people who I think of when I think of why this is called Chatting Between Takes. So her and I shot an episode of a show called Played together, and we just have these 5 minutes between takes, and we started shooting the shit about stuff. And I think it was the idea of going back to school, right? Or not.
Yeah.
So talk to me about that. Fill the audience in. If you guys don't know Zoe, she's a phenomenal actress, most popular on Orphan Black, but does just a ton of work and is brilliant, but is also extremely bright. And talk to us about this decision you had to make and are still kind of making every year, right?
Yeah. So, when we shot Played, I just finished high school and... I just deferred my university acceptance at U of T for chemical engineering.
For chemical engineering.
Total
I love it.
Science geek.
Nice.
Love that stuff.
Teenager after my own heart.
There you go.
Yeah. And so how's that decision been? What's the...
Well, I've been deferring forever now just because, you know, things keep popping up and I'm so grateful for the opportunities that have presented themselves. But at the same time, every year I'm like... Just give me one more year. I keep emailing the school, I think, at this point.
So can you just keep deferring? Do they just keep going? That's fine?
That's what I've been doing. I think this year I'm considering just...
Oh, shit. Okay. By the way, if anyone's wondering, this is the first shared mic podcast we've ever done because Emily needed one for one of her projects. How are we doing? We good?
I think it's good.
All right.
Okay.
I don't have podcast insurance, so you're on your own, Zoe.
Okay. Uh-oh.
But so do they just accept your deferrals?
They do, yeah. Yeah, they're pretty good about it.
And so was Played the first job that made you go, I'm kind of busy enough not to go?
Yes, it was. Actually, I was fully planning on going to school, and then I booked Played, I think, probably April of my grade 12 year. So I was almost done. I'd applied to all my schools. I'd accepted my offer at U of T. Or maybe I hadn't accepted it yet. But anyway, I was determined that I'd be going to school, and then... I booked Played and found out it would be recurring, and it just made me fall in love with it all over again. And I was like, you know what? I owe it to myself to give myself this year to just focus on acting and see whether it's something that I actually really love and really want to pursue. And
so here's a great question, because a lot of us on the show, do you know Atticus? Are you guys friends?
Yeah.
Right. So he was one of my first guests, and he and I talked about just sort of because he kind of wanted to go to school as well.
Yeah.
And you know, we talk about that idea. How is the love for you these days for the acting? Are you finding it?
Oh my God, yes.
Yeah?
I love it. It's I always say, I feel like I get this natural high off of it, you know? I'm on set and it just it makes me so happy and I just I'm addicted to it. I need to keep doing it, you know?
Yeah.
Scooching in
a little closer to get Zoe's levels up. That's brilliant. So you made the right choice.
I think so, yeah. I did. I know I did, yeah.
So how does a girl at Etobicoke School of the Arts think about chemical engineering?
It's actually a super academic school, too. We've got great academic teachers and our standards are really high and most of my graduating class is on the honor roll. So.
Wow, that's awesome. I mean, I know so many people from ESA and they're fantastic, they're brilliant, and they seem to be working a lot as actors.
Yeah.
But they always seem to have a little more depth to them. So obviously what you're saying is right. So you're not going to chemical engineering anytime soon.
Yeah, definitely not this year. I mean, I love the idea of going to school eventually. It's just a question of when and for what. I don't know if it would be for chemical engineering or if I just take a couple courses part-time and random stuff to learn.
We talked with Atticus about this. Do you think that while you've got these obvious other great experiences that you're missing out on a college experience?
I think I used to feel that way for sure. I'd go, especially I have one of my good friends goes to McGill, and I mean I love Montreal so much,
right.
And going to visit her, just the vibe in Montreal is so artsy, and everybody was on their own for the first time, right? It's not like my friends who go to school in Toronto who's still
you know what, I'm gonna pause this mic for the first time ever, except for once when I think I had to pee on a road trip, and we're gonna set this mic up better. Thanks for your patience, everybody, which was zero because I just hit pause. We have a case of Bud Light now sandbagging our mic stand. So you go to Montreal, you meet your friends, and there's a whole...
Yeah, so it was this very... Just the college experience I'd imagined, right? Just living in an artsy apartment in Montreal, with four awesome roommates and like a record player and tea lights everywhere. And just like, it sounds so lame, but it was just like, oh my God, this seems...
Well, I've done that and yeah. It's not lame. Yeah. It's fantastic. It's a different thing.
Yeah, for sure.
But it, you know, we kind of get the one life, but it's yeah. So then was Orphan Black the next sort of thing that made you go stay on this path?
I was very fortunate in that. Like, I think I was shooting my last day on Played. I got the call from my agent being like, you just booked a part on Orphan Black. And I was like, oh my God. It's one of my favorite shows.
That's fantastic.
I was completely obsessed. And I just, I mean, I had the one audition a month prior to that. I'd kind of forgotten about it at that point.
Yep.
And I figured it would just be like a super small two-episode part.
Congrats, because you're fantastic on it. And the show is brilliant. But if you guys aren't watching Orphan Black, just go back to season one. My brother keeps texting me at night, and he'll be like, oh my God, and this and this and this, you know, because we get hooked on the plot points. And I know you can't really talk about any of those. And also, we don't want to talk about anything that's already aired in case somebody hasn't caught up.
Right.
But basically, Orphan Black is this show that kind of took the world by storm. The lead girl plays, you know, Tatiana Maslany plays like five or seven, by this point, probably nine different characters.
She's only 13.
But the great thing is that it's initially it's interesting because it's, you know, oh my God. But after a while, it becomes wonderfully irrelevant because they're each different.
Yeah.
Have you done much work with her on the?
Yeah, I have. She's amazing. Like I did an interview a while back and they were like, oh, what was it like working with her as Cosima for the first time? And I was like, I almost introduced myself to her after knowing her for over a year.
Right.
Because I just, in my mind, I was like, oh, I've never met her before. Because she just, her physicality is so different. And she is so different. It's so different. And she just seems like a completely different person.
So let me ask you this, because I'm always curious. This is half the reason why I do this podcast, so I can steal from people.
Yes.
How are you approaching, let's say, your character? I mean, when you're watching these other actors and you've obviously been trained, you went to school for it for probably longer than I did. What are you thinking when you're getting a script and when you're looking at what you have to do? Are you thinking about your physicality? Are you thinking about the emotionality? Or where are you starting from? And is it changing as you're working with other people like Tatiana who are so next level for all of us?
Yeah, I mean, you definitely like take away from what people like Tat are doing. Like, I just watch her in awe and I'm like, oh my God, I'm so inspired by her. And so obviously I try to take away from what she does and try to apply it to my own work.
And what's your own work? I'm trying to steal your process, Zoe.
Steal my process. I don't have like a set process. It depends. Like some characters are harder to get to than others. Like I know for Gracie, like as soon as I'm in that outfit, that definitely helps. And with my giant afro hair, like I don't feel like myself.
Right.
And I almost feel uncomfortable and shy because I'm so covered up, and it just works for the character. Mm-hmm. Just channel that. And then I had one episode where, let's just say, I was wearing a little less clothes than usual, and I kind of struggled with that at first because I was like, oh my God, I'm not in my Gracie clothes, how am I gonna get into character? And I was like, wait, I feel uncomfortable
that is
being Gracie in these clothes, and Gracie is probably kind of uncomfortable in these clothes, so let's just make that work and channel that. And it was great. So yeah, I don't, when I read a script, I don't have a specific, like, okay, step one, I have to.
Yeah. I mean, I used to, and it never worked.
No? Okay.
No, at theater school, I felt like we were being taught a way to break down scripts. Mm-hmm. And it's part of the reason I don't work that way anymore, is I was like, yeah, this looks great on paper, but it means nothing when it's time for me to look across the scene at you and connect. Or what you're talking about is be willing to honestly feel uncomfortable while the camera's rolling instead of, like, preparing and acting it out.
Yeah.
So, you know, I love what you're saying because it's, you know, even at my age, it's the direction I'm starting to move, which is letting go of process, letting go of all of it, and just kind of going, let's see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it seems to be working lately, and obviously it's working for you. And what other kind of gigs are you doing these days? Or, I mean, is it mostly the Orphan Black stuff?
That was mostly, I did a kind of independent movie back in June, I want to say. Was it June? I think it was June, called Adam's Testament, which was fun.
Right on.
Just a couple weeks, but had a great time on that. And then I'm shooting a TV movie in September.
Awesome. And are you finding it easier to get, you know, meetings and parts being on a hit show?
I mean, my career is definitely
happening.
Happening.
That's so awesome.
I'm super grateful. Yeah. yeah, it definitely
helps. That's great. I mean, it should, you know, and that's mm-hmm. one thing we talk about in Canada, or used to, and I do believe it's changing. There used to be a joke that the ladder in Canada just happens to be lying on the ground. So while you go from rung to rung, you're not actually climbing.
Right.
And I do think that's changing, and I think it's a good thing because, yeah. You know, I think of someone like Stephen Amell. He's Canadian. And obviously mm-hmm. he booked Arrow through the States. But that guy can now drive traffic, so to speak.
Right.
And that's kind of, that's amazing.
That's
like,
great.
And he booked that part from here. So I think he'd gone to LA. I can't remember the specifics, but as a Canadian actor, to be able to climb instead of just, you know, maintain a flatness, mm-hmm. it should work that way. You know, I like the idea. Do you find then, so like Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, are these things blowing up for you in weird ways? Or
I mean, my Facebook, like I don't have a Facebook page. I don't know whether that's something I should do.
Right.
I mean, I have my personal Facebook that I never check. But I've got, yeah, Twitter and Instagram. I don't use them. What?
I'm just wondering if you get like weird requests or like people are fucked out there, especially with women. Like, is it odd?
I haven't had anything too off-putting yet.
Like, that's awesome.
Yeah, most people are really sweet, and I try to respond to people and to say, like, thanks for your support and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. No, I do the same. I mean, I you probably get 1,000 times the Twitter traffic I do, but, like, I just played a psycho in a movie who, like, slits women's throats, and I get these messages like, hey, you could keep me in your basement anytime, and I'm like, when I'm playing the handsome lead, I don't get those. When I'm playing the killer, so I was just assuming you might get some.
No, I haven't had any.
I'm glad. Those are the ones I don't answer.
Right.
And I appreciate them. My ego likes them.
You're like, oh.
Sure.
Thank you.
But I don't actually want to engage those.
Yeah, I don't blame you. And also, like, I think most people who follow me because of Orphan Black. And Gracie's a little, you know, homely, so I don't think anybody's like, damn, Gracie, that floor-length skirt and that button-up blouse.
I don't know. I'm sure there's some sort of Amish chic that people are
Amish
into.
Amish chic. I like that.
Yeah. You can use that.
Yeah.
You can hashtag that. talk to me about your guitar playing. Zoe and I were just jamming in the basement. She's a phenomenal singer and guitarist, but shy about it.
Super shy. No, yeah. I could never do it in front of people.
Why not?
I don't know. It's like I went to ESA for musical theater and I loved it, but every time we had to sing a song in front of our class, I just wanted to puke and cry at the same time. Like I would shake, like to the point where like my vocal cords were shaking and I just couldn't sing, and it was terrible. It was my worst nightmare, and I don't know why.
You know, it's funny because I talk about this. Like, I do feel like there's sort of two camps of us. There's people like me who I fucking love an audience. I never apologize for it. I like my own work. I like the way my voice sounds. I don't think I'm a better singer than I am, but I like it.
Yeah.
And I'm creating a podcast for no reason. Like, no, I jump at the chance. And then there's people, it sounds a bit more like you, who are equally, and I'd almost say more talented. Like, Emily falls in a bit in this. Like, I wish I was as good an actress as her. But she doesn't have the ability maybe to meet and greet as many people as I do out of the gate because I'm more forward about it.
Right.
But man, the ability you guys have to like do it when it's time, how does that happen? So how then do you go from being shy about your voice, I know we're talking about singing, but then to going on set of a major show and going, I'm just going to do it.
Acting is different because like I don't feel like I'm not being myself. And so it's actually, I find it kind of therapeutic. It's kind of, it allows me to escape who I am for however long and be somebody else and do all this crazy stuff that's not going to impact my life negatively because it's not actually me doing it. So
what would you do
if
it could have no negative impact in your real life?
What would I do?
In other words, what are you afraid of doing that...
Being super bold and forward. Like, I always wish I could be super bold. And I've tried a few times. Like, it's like sometimes I'm like, okay, you know what? Today's the day that I'm going to, like... And it just always backfires because I'm so socially awkward. So I'm, like, trying to be bold. Like, the other day, I was with my friend in Kensington. And this guy just comes up to me who is really cute. And he was like, oh, you're really beautiful. And I was like, oh, my God, thank you. And then I was like... You know what? I'm just gonna write my number down on a piece of paper and give it to him. And
I love this. No, okay. It's so old school too.
I walk up to him and I'm like, look at me go. And then I put my number on the table and a gust of wind just like blows it away and I'm like trying to catch it. I'm like running after this piece of paper and then I give it back to him and I'm like,
God's never gonna make being bold easy for you. Did he call?
He texted.
He texted. Oh, how do you feel about that? You seem disappointed.
No, I don't like. I don't think texting is. I don't like to have full conversations over text. I mean, if I've given somebody my number and we text and like just converse a bit and then make plans to meet in person, that's fine.
Yeah.
But like even with my best friends, whenever we're trying to talk about something, we always call each other.
Yes.
Because texting just sucks and so many things can be misinterpreted and it's stupid.
Yeah. Like my brother and I will text maybe sometimes 50 times a day, but we have a shorthand. It's like a watch we like or a comment on a show. Like it's a two sentence thing that wouldn't make sense to anyone else.
Yeah.
But if I'm, if I don't know someone well and it's too texty, I'm like, that's a bit odd. See, we talked about this before the podcast rolled, is that, I mean, when I was your age, there was no cell phones, there was no internet, there was no, so if you wrote your number down, someone had to call, you know, and I mean, that's it. There was no middle way around it.
And I think that's the best. Like, you're being bold by giving them your number, so they have to be bold by calling you and speaking to you in person. You know what I mean?
So did you guys make a plan to meet?
This happened very recently, so no, not yet. But
I'll be curious to see how this turns out. Good for you. And you know what? Whether it works or not, it worked because you did it.
Yeah, but he approached me first, to be fair.
Right.
So.
So, aside from guys, where else would you like where else would you like to be more bold. Like one of your characters? Well, maybe not bold, because that was one of the things you said, but other aspects that you're like, I wish I was more, or when my characters do blah, blah, blah.
Just like more confident in general, I think. I can be kind of shy, and like it gets to the point where actually, like, if I'm talking to somebody I don't know very well, I don't want to seem shy, so I'm just like, just say something, and then I'll end up saying something stupid and unrelated because I'm like, I can't be awkward, I have to say something, and then they look at me like, well, this girl is an idiot. And I'm like, great.
So isn't it funny that, I mean, you're obviously not an idiot. And I mean, again, you're measurably not an idiot because of, let's say, coursework you've done, right? So that's just like in the construct of first world schooling, you're not an idiot. But if you say the wrong thing in an awkward social moment, someone could think that.
Yeah.
That's odd to me.
I don't know. Because like, it just gets to the point where I get so in my head about keeping the conversation going or not seeming awkward that I'll say something that just makes me seem more awkward. It's a terrible...
I mean, I deal with this with arrogance. Like, I've had so many people still sometimes be like, I thought you were such an arrogant dick, and it's my inability just to relate.
Right.
I'm getting better at it, I think, but I used to like... And then people would be like, you're so nice, and like, you don't have like a mean bone in your body. I'm like...
Thank you.
Right, but there's something I'm doing behaviorally
to
put, because I'm afraid.
Right.
I'm afraid of relating in a way that makes me do, you know, you're shy, maybe cocky, and I'm not trying to be, but I'll say something and I'll blurt out something that will end up seeming cocky.
Well, I do that too.
It's like, damn it, I'm just trying to say hi. Yeah. I just don't know how.
Exactly.
You know?
We like put up these walls, and I think technology is kind of screwing us over too, because we don't, like, if we don't want to face somebody or talk to them face to face, we don't have to.
Right.
And so we're not as used to dealing with
I agree. I 100% agree. And
it's scary.
Yeah, are you on Tinder?
No.
No. There's some article going around, I've just skimmed it, but about how Tinder's destroying the ability to be romantic and relate. And I totally agree. I mean, you're choosing from a menu.
It's terrible. I did it, like, my friend was like, just do it. And I did it for one day, and I was like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever done. Because it's so superficial. And I guess that people are superficial in real life, too, and that, like, the first thing that'll draw them to somebody else is their physical appearance. But you get to engage with a person right away and make your judgments based on their personality and based on, like, your connection versus it being solely based on.
And also a photo. What's interesting is, and I mean, Tinder, Facebook, whatever. I mean, it's all versions of the same thing. MySpace back in the day. Like, somebody's picking a photo, and I've seen people agonize over it. Look how people, like, if I take a selfie with someone, they immediately go, let me see it.
Right.
And then they go, oh, no, take another.
Yeah.
So there's no casual Tinder photo.
That's true.
That's been chosen and constructed, and you're like,
yeah.
So think about what that person. And again, I'm wearing a cowboy hat in my fucking Facebook profile pic right now, so I'm choosing to present myself a certain way.
Yeah.
I own that because I fucking love that photo myself, you know, but it's still a selfie. I took three and that was my favorite of the three. Like, that wasn't a casual moment.
Right.
And it's funny because someone took a photo of me and Kat Weber. Emily took it out of us in front of an Italian thing. Love this photo.
Okay.
And then a friend of mine goes, dude, you look like you're in pain. And he's half joking. But it's funny because I love the facial expression. But yes, it's me when I'm normally talking and thinking.
Right.
There's no photos I've posted that I took of myself of me with a concerned, tense, right. what am I about to say look.
Yeah.
And I do look like I'm in pain. But it's a pain of living.
Right.
Of thinking, of being. And those are the things that I think get lost. And also for me, like, there's a vibe.
Right.
Right? Like, I always talk when I'm teaching acting about this. Like, you have red hair and blue eyes. Emily has red hair, blue eyes. There's about 15 other actresses I've met through Emily because she auditions with them with red hair and blue eyes.
Right.
It would be absurd to think that I would get along equally well with all of you.
Right.
But we have this weird sense that we should choose based on a visual what our next girlfriend might be like. And it's like, why?
Yeah.
What aspect of that person would make you think that you have something in common with them at all?
Yeah.
Other than the fact they have red hair and blue eyes and you kind of like red hair and blue eyes.
Yeah.
Like,
it's weird.
It is really weird to me. I think it'd be fun for one night stands. I don't think it'd be fun for a proper relationship.
No, for sure.
So you're drawing as well. I'm going down the list of your skills here. But again, not just kind of. Like, you're really good at it. So is that just a hobby? Is that something you...
Yeah, I mean, like, I just, I like to take pictures and then draw things I take pictures of. I actually, last year, my dad had this old set of pencil crayons from when he was a kid. And within that set, I found this charcoal pencil. And I was like, what do I do with this? And so a little over a year ago, I just went on YouTube and I was like, how do you use charcoal? And then I saw somebody kind of shading, so I tried it out. And then the first picture I drew was of like two people kissing, and it was really up close.
I saw that.
And I was like, oh, like, I guess I'm okay at
this. Yes, you're all right.
And so I just kept going, and now I like to do like a full like 8.5 by 11. So it's pretty small, but
So you're pretty good at filling your own time.
Yeah.
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 I mean, personally, I suck at this. I can spend hours doing nothing.
I can do that, too.
Yeah.
I can do that, too.
When you do it, are you depressed?
When I...
Sometimes if I do nothing for hours, it's because I'm depressed or I'm hoping a book apart or I'm sort of putting myself on hold.
I think... I wouldn't say I'm depressed, but I definitely... Kitty. I think that when I do kind of waste my time, it's because I'm hoping... for something to happen.
Right.
You know?
I do know. Yeah. I think the energy will somehow make it happen. Or I'm afraid to lift the lid off the pot lest I'm not that afraid of disappointment, but that's part of it, you know?
Right.
Is feelings.
It's true.
How's living with your folks?
It's great.
Yeah?
They're awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like a Toronto thing. Like, there's articles about people, I mean, you're a lot younger, but there's articles about people who are like 27 and live with their folks, and it makes sense in Toronto.
I don't know if I love my parents to death, but right. I hope that by 27 I'll
I think you're I mean, you could move out now, I'm guessing.
I could. I was looking at places, but I mean, I have everything I need at home and my parents are great, and I also just don't know where I'm going to be in the near future. It's
city-wise?
Yeah, that's the thing with acting. It's like, you never know.
Right.
Where you're going to end up.
So you end up subletting for a while, or are you thinking of going to LA?
I'm gonna go in October for a couple weeks just to meet with people.
Have you been?
I've never been.
Oh, you're gonna love it.
I'm excited.
You're gonna love it. Yeah. I love that city.
I don't like the idea though of having to drive everywhere. Like in Toronto, I bike everywhere. Yeah. Or I walk everywhere. Like, I'll walk 2 hours.
That's
downtown.
Half the reason we stayed friends is I ran into you. We both live in the Junction. To people who don't know, the Junction's on the west end of Toronto, and I think I saw you like once a week for like, almost a year, just walking.
Yeah.
You know, and I was either biking everywhere. Or on my motorbike.
Yeah.
Or skateboarding.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you're thinking about going down and at least exploring it.
Yeah, for sure.
Great idea. I think it's a great idea.
It's scary. It's a whole new ballgame.
It's a fucking whole new ballgame. Anyways, we'll talk about it off camera. But, you know, my experience and most people I know's experience is there's no reason not to go for it when you have something like a wave.
Right.
You know, and you have a wave behind you right now. So, whatever. I don't ever want to give advice. But that, you know, going to LA without something
Yeah.
sucks.
It's easy to get lost.
It's easy to get lost, and You know, I went down there as what was a Canadian star at the time, but I didn't have a visa.
Right.
So I'd just come off a bunch of TV series, blockbuster film, and everybody was willing to meet with me. They're like, oh my God, can't wait to meet with you. Love your demo tape. And then there was nothing we could do. So I kind of wasted all that currency. But I got into every room based on, and they'd never seen my shows.
Right.
And which is different with yours. But they knew that I'd been working constantly for years. And they're like, great. We love new people.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of blew my timing, partly because of a visa issue. So I couldn't do most things.
Right.
And it just kind of went wah, wah, wah. Luckily, it ended up working out fine. But yeah, it was one of those things where it's a tough city without some heat.
Right.
I think. Especially when up here is less tough, you know.
I know. Toronto's is more comfortable.
I fucking love this.
Like, everybody knows everybody here, and it's...
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, LA's a small city, but I live here for a reason. Like, I could be there doing exactly what I'm doing.
Right.
I don't know if I'd be working more or less, but I know that I'm more happy here.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I wouldn't go back there, because obviously Emily might want to go there. There's something you said about... So, possibly moving out with your folks... I can't remember. There was something you said there that triggered me. I don't know. I'll remember it.
Okay.
You skateboarding much right now?
Oh, not much. No, I'm more of a bike person.
Right.
Although the other day, my tire got caught in a streetcar track, which was so scary. I was on Queen Street, and then, like, I almost fell in front of this car, but then I stopped myself, and my pedal just whacked me in the leg, so I had this giant bruise.
But you didn't go down.
I didn't go down, so that's
no.
good.
If you don't bike in Toronto, you don't know biking. I'm guessing San Francisco out there, people is probably tougher. But streetcar tracks here, you have both hills and streetcar tracks in San Fran. It's fucking insane.
Oh.
Like, I see people wipe out every single day.
Like, getting doored. I haven't seen anybody get doored, but I know a lot of friends have gotten doored.
So doored is crazy.
It's a dangerous...
Are you still working at the comedy?
I'm not.
No?
No, I miss it. I quit in... June, just because, like, scheduling wise, my schedule's super unpredictable, as is any actor's
sure.
schedule.
So did you, now here's a question I have, and I mean, a lot of people I know, even a friend of mine right now is at this, where he's working enough that mm-hmm. he's a working actor, but not quite enough that he knows where his next $10,000 is going to come from.
Right.
So he finds it hard to go to work because he's like a working actor on TV shows,
mm-hmm.
which is partly ego, but also partly legit. Like.
Yeah.
It changes things a little,
yeah.
But then it's not quite it, so he still has to go to work.
Yeah.
Did you liked going to the comedy?
Oh, I loved it.
Was it the comedy
it.
Store? Was that where
no,
you were?
No, it was a comedy club downtown.
Second City?
Second City,
Second City,
yeah.
You loved it.
I loved it. Like, the people, the staff is so great, and it's just such a great vibe. Like, it's...
Right.
It didn't really feel like work. You know, you clean up the theater, and then people walk in, and you show them to their seats, and then as the show goes on, like, you walk through the theater and bring people... Like,
not bad.
And get to watch comedy, and there's always an improv set at the end of the night, which keeps things
would
fresh.
You go back, or is it still too hard to schedule because
I mean, I wouldn't definitely not be opposed to it, like, if ever.
Right now we just did my first ever real edit because I gave something away that I couldn't. So do you know if you're going back to Orphan Black or not?
I don't.
You don't? I love
maybe.
This
maybe
I love this.
I don't know.
You might know.
I don't know.
Fuck, I love this stuff. I love having secrets. And by the way, for those of you listening, I don't know this either. But I know that Zoe can't tell you anything to do with these plot points. So that must be interesting too, right? Like, I remember the first time this became a big deal was on Survivor. I don't know if you remember that show.
Of course, I remember Survivor.
Okay. So, I mean, these people had to go home.
Yeah.
And pretend they knew nothing about what they knew everything about.
Right, yeah.
Do you get plied? Have you ever screwed up? Have you ever been drunk at a bar and been like, let me tell you what really happens?
Oh my God, no. I have, like I could never. Could never. But
could never?
No. I mean, my parents know because, like, I read the scripts with them and stuff, but they know they can't say anything.
Do they have to sign an NDA as well?
Non-disclosure
agreement?
No, but...
No.
No.
Should we edit out that your parents know? Are they going to know?
No, I mean, like, I run lines.
We have,
like,
to run lines with someone.
Yeah, and I run them in the house, and they're like, what'd you say in there? No, they know that they can't say anything.
Right. Yeah. Okay, great. So we don't know. We'll tune in, but I'm not caught up on season 3. I can't wait to do that. And then talk to me a bit about your traveling, because I see these photos of you with elephants in Paris.
My elephant buddies, yeah.
What are these trips? How were they?
So I went to Thailand in March. It was super spontaneous because we filmed Orphan Black until about mid-March, and Stephen Lynch, who's the head makeup artist on the show, was talking about wanting to go to Thailand, and I was like, oh, I'd love to go to Thailand, and he booked a flight. And then I think maybe like 3 weeks before my trip, I was like, I think I'm going to go too. So I booked the same flight as him, and we left from our wrap party. Like, we went to the wrap party for an hour, and then we're like, okay, we're going to Thailand
now.
Oh
my God, I love that.
It was great. So we just got in a cab and went to the airport and flew there together. And then he got an Airbnb, and I was doing more backpacking. So I went to a hostel, and then we met up for like drinks or
So even though you went together, you basically went alone.
Yeah, because I wanted to do like a solo traveling experience. And so I started in Bangkok, then went up north to Chiang Mai, which is kind of a smaller city. It's so beautiful. I could live there. And then I went to an island called Koh Chang, which was awesome as well. Got a scuba certification.
What?
Yeah, so I'm a certified scuba diver.
Oh my God, how deep can you go?
Only 20 meters.
20 meters? Okay.
Yeah, but... Yeah. I wanted to get my advance so I can go 40 meters deep. I was going to do it. I just didn't have enough time.
We went. We were in Hawaii and we went scuba. And we could go down like 50 feet, I think, okay, based on our non-certification.
Yeah.
And the little course we did. So as we're on one side of the boat, we get up and everybody's like, did you see it? There's a 30-foot tiger shark that went by on the other side of the boat.
Oh,
now, apparently,
God,
when you're underwater, sharks aren't a problem. They don't care about... I mean, I'm sure you could, but it's when you're on the surface, they think you're a seal.
Yeah.
Fucking crazy. Are you scared of sharks when you scuba?
Well, in Thailand, it wasn't really much of an issue. I did a lot of like shipwreck stuff, and then you see like beautiful fish, but like small little colorful fish.
So had you done it before?
Scuba diving? No. Okay. I did some snorkeling.
I got to interject here. To the regular listener of this show, I hope you're picking up on what we're talking about here. Now, again, I know Zoe's getting a little shy because I keep blowing her up here, but there's a reason why I have certain guests on. How old are you?
I just turned 20.
20 years old, on her own goes to Thailand and decides to get her scuba certification. Zoe, one of the things I talk about a lot on the show is like, are you living the life you should be living?
Right.
Are you happy? And if not, what could you do to change it?
Mm-hmm.
Now, going to scuba isn't going to change your whole life, but it's part of being the kind of person who's going to end up not having regrets, probably not marrying the wrong person.
Right.
Or if you do, it'll be young enough that you can change it. I don't know. But you know what I'm saying. Sorry to interrupt, but I really love having people in my living room drinking coffee and talking about being 20 and going and getting your damn certification in Thailand in shipwrecks instead of going, I'd really love to go scuba one day.
Yeah.
But, and then adding all the buts in between it. And again, if you're listening and you're like, yeah, but she's on a TV show, this and that. First of all, Canadian TV shows aren't American TV shows. So Zoe's doing fine, but I'm sure she's not fucking a millionaire. And also, we all have our own life. Like, so whether you're 20, whether you're 40 or 50, if you want to go learn scuba, just go to fucking Thailand and take some shipwreck scuba. What else? How are the elephants?
The elephants were amazing. I'm in love with them. I went to two sanctuaries, one that was just south of Bangkok by a town called Cha Em. I'm probably butchering that.
You're probably not.
Maybe. But that sanctuary was like... that was right.
Yeah, I'm going to be fucking racist.
Anyway, the sanctuary had elephants, lots of monkeys, lots of different monkeys, some bears. They had otters. They just started to get tigers in, too, from tiger temples.
So these are actual sanctuaries.
Like, how
big are they? How's the...
Oh, they're huge. They're like huge.
They're not zoos.
No. So they're all rescued animals. Like, a lot of elephants in Thailand get exploited for like illegal logging. Logging's illegal in Thailand, but they still do it because it's
so they
profitable.
Use the elephants to do the work.
Yeah. I heard the most heartbreaking story actually about an elephant who she was logging and she was pregnant and she was lugging these tree trunks up a hill. And gave birth to her baby as she was doing that. So her baby tumbled down the hill and ended up dying. So this elephant just was so depressed because elephants have a really strong sense of family. And because she was depressed, she refused to work. And so her mahout, which is like the person kind of in charge of one specific elephant, just mistreated her and tried to get her to work by like slingshotting her and got her in one eye, blinded her in that eye. She still refused to work, and then he ended up blinding her in the other eye.
Jesus.
It's terrible and heartbreaking. And anyway, eventually one of the sanctuaries bought the elephant, and she's this other elephant at the sanctuary just took to her right away, and now they're best friends, and her elephant kind of guides her around, and it's so touching.
Oh, my God.
It's amazing. And they've actually, like, the elephants at these sanctuaries, at the one in Chiang Mai, the other one I went to, there were a few babies as well, and they've formed their own herds. Like, so none of them are related or had known each other, I guess, beforehand, right. But they just formed, like, I think they're maybe four separate herds, and they act as a family. And if ever one of the herds feels threatened, they'll do that thing where they surround the baby and try to protect it. It's so heartwarming.
God.
And they're beautiful animals.
That's the best.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what you've got a connection with animals kind of in the wild. What happens when you read about these lions getting shot or whatever? I mean,
oh my
God,
I was so angry.
You're a vegetarian, right?
I'm vegan.
You're vegan.
Yeah.
So you don't even want to exploit animals, like, for leather, for anything.
No, I mean, I have some leather things that I know I need. I don't buy leather anymore.
Yeah, no judgment here. I got a steak ready to go tonight. So, okay. You know, no judgment here. So.
But, like, I should stop wearing.
There's some 0.01% of vegans who look at you as evil. But for the most part, you're doing your part, right?
Okay. Like, I try not to, like, I don't buy any products that have been tested on animals. I try to do my best with that stuff.
Oh, man, I can't even imagine how that must have felt reading about these lions and things.
Yeah, I mean, like, especially, like, trophy hunting. Like, you know, it's not like they're hunting for survival, like, and need the meat.
Yeah.
Like, that I understand, you know, it's just part of life and surviving. But
yeah.
they're hunting for a trophy to hang a head up on a wall and have it's like this animal's skin, and it's terrible.
And guess what? You and I both love photography.
Mm-hmm.
Why not get just as fucking close
and take a picture?
Take a beautiful. Hey, and if you want to be real great, put on a 28mm lens.
There
and
you go.
For anybody listening, a 28mm lens is a very wide lens, meaning to get an elephant, or, well, a lion in close-up, you'd have to be about 3 feet from the elephant. So you want to be cool, put on a 28mm lens and get a close-up of a lion. That'll show that you've got some skills.
Yeah.
That'll show
that's
you.
That's way more impressive.
That's way more impressive.
You know?
No, I've always thought that. And I don't, yeah. Anyways, I've always thought that. I mean, you have to have something inside you. And by the way, I don't not have this. It sounds like you don't have it. Part of me even sometimes wishes I enlisted as a soldier just to engage the extremity of that type of human behavior. And it's just part of who I am. I mean, I do the martial arts. I do all that stuff. But there isn't that part of me that's like, I want to snuff out a life instead of just take a beautiful photo of it. Like, that gene I'm missing, thank God.
Yeah, seriously.
Even as much as I can, like, support capital punishment if I found someone killing Emily, I'm like, fucking electric chair if they make it to my front door. So I have no problem with certain types of killing.
Yeah.
But no, that gene to me is perverse. That's like sociopathic. But obviously you agree.
Yeah.
What are you doing for the summer?
Well, started out the summer by going to France with my parents for 2 weeks, which was
nice.
Beautiful.
It was hot, right?
It was very hot. Like between 32 and 39, closer to 39 degrees the whole time we were there. So I was...
That's insane.
A sweaty, smelly mess.
Yeah.
Super cute.
Yeah. Were you being bold and forward with the Frenchmen? Because they probably didn't mind the smell. And I'm not even saying this as a dumb joke. There's a different deodorant kind of quotient over there.
Is there? I hadn't noticed.
It's less.
Okay.
It's less. And I actually think it's pretty great. It is more musky. I appreciate it. I think it's sexy.
There you go.
So were you bold?
I was with your parents.
It's hard to be...
So. We drank a lot of wine.
Did that make you bold? Were you like, Mom, I'm going to go hit on Pierre?
No, like, it was nice, actually. We just, like, me and my parents bonded and talked about stuff we don't usually talk about. And
you're growing up.
That's
delightful.
Weird.
It is weird.
In a good way.
They're still your parents. You don't consider them, like, your friends.
I mean, like, no, they're still my parents, but I tell them a lot of the same stuff I would tell my friends.
Right.
Maybe not absolutely everything.
Yeah. Mom.
I
mean, no, I talk really openly on the podcast about my relationship with my parents. It's complicated.
Yeah.
My relationship with my mom, not complicated. Dad, not complicated. My relationship with both of them, complicated. And it's interesting because I have to gauge what I tell them, even though they know everything about my fucking drugs and all that shit.
Yeah.
Based on the energetic that it will create, not for them. I'm not trying to protect them for me. You know, I have to protect myself sometimes by not oversharing. Like, for example, if I tell them, oh, I'm a little nervous about my nose operation that I had a few months ago, sometimes they over then, oh my God, here's my chance to be a parent, and they'll call three times a day right. and be like, and I'm like, I just expressed a feeling
yeah.
in a moment.
Yeah.
I don't need you to call. Don't make this about you now.
Mm-hmm.
you
right.
know what I mean? But it sounds like, again, you don't quite have that with your folks, so
no,
that's nice.
No, my parents are pretty chill. Like, they're awesome. They're great.
I think we're going to put on a little more coffee.
Okay.
Do you want to say anything? You want to give any shout-outs? You want to wind her down with anything?
No.
You're all good. Well, it's such a pleasure getting to know you, Zoe, and having you over. I really mean it, guys out there. You know, if this is our future, we're good. You know, again, Atticus is another example. I mean, just these people who are so bright, so on the ball, and... I don't know. I mean, I hope you heard a lot today because I did. And I mean it when I say I have my guests over to... Oh, you know who was my second guest? Was Christian.
Ah!
Yeah.
Awesome.
Christian and her obviously know each other from Orphan Black. But yeah, it's... I have people over to steal from them. Because, you know, sometimes, and I'm saying this to the listener, I feel like a fucking dick telling you guys how it should be. So it's nice when someone else comes on. And then in asking them what I'm curious about, I'm like, I feel like they just said kind of a version of the same thing, if you know what I mean.
Right, yeah.
And I'm having people on who are doing well in their chosen careers and lives and things. And so that's one of those things. Oh, by the way, shout out Peter Andrew. I was talking to Zoe about Peter Andrew, who was the DP on Barn Wedding and also my studio partner, has been a guest on this show. Again, because of the same kind of thing, because he has this driven success need. A healthy one, and it turns out that your mom knows and loves his work, eh?
Yeah, she's like, you just showed me some of his photographs. Yeah. I was like, my mom was admiring that the other day.
Yeah. What a cool thing, too, yeah. to have, like, a body of photo work. Because in this world, you know, it's pretty easy to be celebrity as an actor. Not easy, but you know what I mean. Like, we recognize the TV people, but to recognize someone through their photography.
Yeah.
So, Peter, just know that you're blowing up in the junction, buddy.
Yeah, you are.
Blowing up in the junction. Zoe, thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's a wrap, everybody. This is Chatting Between Takes, and we'll talk to you soon.
Bye.